All right, great to have you back with us. The Giants try to square this three-game series at 1-1 with the Chicago White Sox. The Giants lost last night 1-0, shut out with a run in the ninth inning as the White Sox take care of business and the Giants go down to another defeat on this little run of 11 games. I thought they would do so well, 8-3, and they're 2-4 right now. Bruce Jenkins, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Marty. Doing okay, thanks.
Yeah, this has been quite a week for the Giants and quite a third of the season. Someone pointed out this week, 26-28 in their last 54 games, Bruce. That's a significant chunk of the season, and they're under 500.
Yeah, it's a bit of a reality check, having to do with this is not last season. You know, I mean, it's the same kind of team, the same system, the same coaching, and I certainly don't question, you know, what they've done, with that roster. But you're going to have nights like this, you know, when you're not coming at a team with one, you know, star power guy after another. You got, you know, guys who are not going to give you, 300 averages or be belting 40 homers and that sort of thing, and you're going to get shut down occasionally. And then, you know, they bounce back today, and they look more like themselves. I certainly wouldn't be surprised by that. But I just think that there's a little bit of element of mediocrity to the lineup when you measure it against the rest of the teams of the National League. And, you know, they're looking right now to sneak into that last wild card spot, which they certainly can do. But to expect anything higher, you know, just to watch the way this team hit or doesn't hit in some cases would be a little much.
Well, it's 7.5 back, and that's that number that you and I, you don't like to be
that's
7.5 back.
Yeah.
No, because you can have, you know, 3 or 4 bad days, and you can be 10 back, and then you're in real trouble. So
Yeah. They're
at that point. They've got to get it together. I was thinking about this and thinking about discussing it with you. You know, the way that the team has been put together, it's with a lot of guys without a baseball card, so to speak, the lightning in a bottle type guys. And then they rolled the dice that Ruff and Belt and Crawford and Longoria and some of the older players would be able to duplicate what they did last year. And that's a tall order in baseball, asking at least your 34-plus guys to be able to do it again. And maybe they got caught a little bit in this area.
Yeah, I think they did. When Belt and Crawford and Longoria are right, you know, are 100% or close to it, they're still just tremendous players in every respect, defense and offense. But, you know, the reality is they've all been hurt. I don't know why you would expect them to suddenly burst into a season, the rest of the season of full health. It just doesn't seem very feasible. They've got the nagging injuries and new ones crop up, and that's what happens when you get a little bit older in the game. And so that's going to be a problem. You just hope that those guys can get in the lineup, you know, more often than they're not in there. But when they're not, like you say, you're looking at a lot of guys without a baseball card, or maybe there's one line on it from Double A.
And that's a problem. You're asking those guys to carry you, and it's not that simple for them to. There's a reason why it took them that long to get to the big leagues, and that gets exposed every once in a while. So Susan and I talked. Susan Slusser was on earlier, Bruce, and we talked about what can they do. And without disrupting too many positions, you can't really bring in an outfielder because you disrupt 3 or 4 of the players they have. I think catching is one area that they can certainly bring in a catcher if they get Contreras, someone like that. For me, starting pitching still is an issue. DeSclafani, Wood, Cobb was good last night, but you're putting a lot of pressure on the first two guys. Maybe an ace-type pitcher, like a 2 or 3, and give up some of those minor leaguers. It's okay. You don't have to hoard the whole crowd. Maybe upgrade in that area.
Yeah, well, I just noticed that DeSclafani's on the injured list again, and it's that ankle, and Kapler didn't hide his concern. This thing's been bothering him for more than a year. And I think people who have had nagging ankle injuries that they can't shake can really relate to this. It doesn't sound like much. It's just the ankle, but it's just if you're using it a lot and pushing off it, you know, as a major league pitcher, heaven knows, every single pitch, it comes into play. So he's going to be out a long time, it sounds like. He's just forget about him, because this is happening way too often. The Capitol said even surgery hasn't been ruled out. So we were already talking about the need for a starting pitcher. I think it's even more pressing now because mm-hmm. they're going to get in these games where they're not scoring runs, and they got to make sure the other team's doing the same. You know, last night was a good one. You know, you hate to see a game come down to, well, geez, the guy was a little late covering first and we lost. You know, I mean, it should be a little more complicated than that. But, yeah, I think so. And, you know, for me, I agree on the minor leaguers. That's the way, you know, big deals are made. We've seen a lot of really good prospects get, you know, traded to other teams. And you hate to lose them. In the Giants' case, I definitely wouldn't want to lose Luciano or the kid. Is it Kyle Harrison? Is that his,
right? The lefty.
Yeah. Lefty. Those two guys, I think you have to keep, especially because Harrison's a lefty and because Luciano has struck people as a very, very special guy. And Crawford is, you know, probably near the end of the line. A couple more years, maybe, of that if he's right. And Luciano is just this perfect guy to take over there. They've got some other interesting people down in the minors that seem to be, you know, really catching some attention. So maybe those are the players that you give up because, you know, that other teams, you know, if they're doing their job, they notice stuff all the way down the line. It's not necessarily the guys who are on the top 100 prospect list, but guys who are going to be there eventually. Whether you can get an ace pitcher, I don't know if you need that. You got Webb and Rodon. You've got two aces there, or they should be, and I think that they're expected to pitch like aces every time out. But if you can fill it out with reliable people, you know, which DeSclafani obviously is not. You know, Alex Cobb, he's been hurt a lot over the years, and they're being real careful with him. He only went to 5 last night, so I think a serviceable, above average, not just a journeyman, but you know, a good guy who can, I say, win you 15 games, and that's a meaningless stat. Now, I don't know how you want to frame it, but, you know, a good strikeout to walk ratio, a good hits for inning ratio, a guy who throws strikes, and you know, he tends to give you a, you know, you're leading 3-1 after 5 or whatever, you know, and he's just, that's what you're going to get from him, and they turn it over to the bullpen. So, but yeah, and you know, as far as the catching, they miss Posey in ways that they do realize, but I think people may not think about that often enough as to how incredibly valuable he was to this team in so many ways. And it's just tough. It's tough to replace him. They're struggling there. They looked into getting that kid Papirski. They gave up Dubon for him, and now Papirski's in Cincinnati. You know, they're struggling. They're struggling at the catching position. With all due respect to Casale and Wins, I mean, these are not prime time catchers. Contreras would be great. I agree there.
Boy, good analysis, Bruce. Good analysis. I think what I would say, I want an innings eater.
Yeah,
you know, I want a guy who can give you 6 or 7, because right now, their starting pitching is not even averaging 5 innings a start. And you can't bring in Brebbia, you can't bring in Duvall and Rogers and Leon every day or every other day. It's only July. They're in the top 6 in baseball in appearances. So, yeah, I say give me an innings eater. Give me Tyler Mahle, someone like that, someone who could take me into the 6th or 7th inning.
Goes out there with a knife and fork and
and eats innings.
That's
what we want, an innings eater. I'll leave. Last night was interesting. I mean, the White Sox chase like crazy, don't they? Very undisciplined hitting team. And Steve Stone just gave a great report with Bill. Their left-handed hitting, not much at all. But, boy, Webb should have a decent game today with that slider, the way these guys chase.
Yeah, I think Andrew Vaughn and Tim Anderson, I think, are exceptions, but they do have a lot of wild swingers. You know, Luis Robert is just a fantastic talent, but you know, it seems like you can get him with the good low and away slider. That applies to a lot of hitters, but there's not a lot of discipline there. But still, I think compared to the Giants, you know, they've got some prime time guys throughout that lineup. Guys who do have a baseball card and do have a big future in the game. Eloy Jimenez is out right now. He's a good one. I don't think their hitting is going to be a big problem. They're an interesting team. I mean, they got Dylan Cease going today, right?
Yeah, big guy.
This guy's striking out 13 batters per nine innings.
Come on, his last 27 innings, he struck out 45.
Yeah, good grief. And, you know, Cueto's fascinating, and Giolito, and Tony La Russa. It's a fascinating bunch, but, you know, there's some headline makers in there. The Giants are very short on headline makers outside of Webb and Rodon.
Yeah, the White Sox have underachieved quite a bit, and a lot of the injuries, as Steve Stone said, the legs, everybody's got muscle pulls, and, you know, Tony La Russa said don't run hard and all that kind of stuff. So, but I'll tell you one thing. They've got 16 games left with Minnesota and 14 left with Cleveland. So that'll tell the story for the White Sox. But they've underachieved, and the injuries have been a big part of it. So we'll see where it goes. But interesting, I like the interleague game with the White Sox. I found last night Lance Lynn and Cobb a very good matchup. Heck, nothing into the ninth inning.
That was great. Lance Lynn was very, very good. But yeah, the White Sox are—they're really interesting team. They're only 5.5 out. You know, it's been Minnesota and Cleveland, but the White Sox are right there. They're still 3 below .500, but I really think they're going to be right there with those other two teams. And you know, Twins, Guardians doesn't sound very sexy, but that they've been playing each other some really good games.
Yeah, I don't think they play anybody else. I think they just play
play each other in the next 18, I think.
I think that's it. Really? All right. Well, all right. What about the fight last Sunday? What did you think? That was a baseball fight. We haven't seen that in so many years. That was like one of the old-time fights. And just think the way the game used to be, where you'd have fights like that all the time.
They were fairly common. I wouldn't say all the time, but yeah, when I covered the game all throughout the 80s, you'd get a bunch of those, and you'd have people throwing big time punches and piling on and kicking, and you know, a lot of bizarre stuff where you'd have to watch the replay if you had the time and the equipment. You have to watch it five times, slow motion. I'm sure that's what they do to hand out the suspensions. But yeah, I mean. You know, and it was for a good cause. I mean, it was pitches thrown at the head. Nothing makes the blood boil more if you're in the other dugout than something like that. Okay, he ducked out of the way. Doesn't matter. His life is all of a sudden. You put his life in your hands, and was it intentional? It's all about what was leading up to that, and there was a lot of sort of nefarious stuff going on up to that. But you know, teams are a lot friendlier with each other than they were. In years past, there's a lot of fraternizing. You'll see guys hanging out in the outfield talking to each other before the game. Not Pham and Peterson, but you know, but there's a lot of fraternizing, a lot of commonality, in the past, the whole thing was we don't even acknowledge those guys. We basically hate them over these next 3 days. You certainly won't see us, you know, chatting away with them. So it's a little bit different there. You're talking about, you know, people who are friends, so you're not so likely to have 25 guys against the other 25 guys, and they're all, like, totally ready to rumble, you know?
I thought it was something. I waited to see Enos Slaughter, you know, coming out and ripping somebody's jersey off or something like that.
Well, this still wasn't a major league fight in my mind. I mean, there's a lot of scrambling and a lot of, you know, a couple of serious punches being thrown, but there was nothing really stood out to me like Pat Corrales coming out and trying a karate kick and Dave Stewart leveling him with a right cross. I still don't know how he did that, but
that was one of the better ones.
Yeah, or just two guys that are out in the open throwing. You know, it's just too crowded. But it's always going to be part of the game, and there it was.
Yeah. Looking at the last part of that, we'll leave this, but for me, the best part was Iglesias, who comes out later and throws the whole tray of sunflower seeds on the field. How about that?
that was vintage. That was Lou Piniella, Billy
Martin. That was good.
You gotta pick something and throw it. It's a great gesture. It actually kind of lightens the mood in a way. It certainly does for the fans, but I mean, I don't think, you know, I don't know what the reaction in the other dugout is. It's like, what the hell? But it's a gesture, like, you know, screw you guys. This is what you're worth. You're just a pile of garbage and that sort of thing. But it used to be a handy tool for the managers to pull something like that.
Well, this is July 4th weekend, and, you know, they're wearing special hats and all this stuff July 4th. And it was Canada Day yesterday. July 1st is Canada Day, celebrating the emancipation, so to speak, of Canada. And they're making the Toronto Blue Jays wear an American flag hat. How about that?
Yeah, that's very, very interesting. And they've got, I'm pretty sure, George Springer. Is George Springer from Canada?
I don't think so.
Maybe not. They did a big thing for Russell Martin, I know.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to that, really, to be honest. But that's all I can say. I really have, I mean, way to go, Canada.
Right, it's a way to sell more hats. In Canada, yeah, you got to wear a hat with an American flag. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's baseball today. A couple of things. One, Aaron Judge is always in the news, Bruce. It seems like he's in the news every day. And the odds came out on him hitting 62 home runs. And you could get odds of 4-1. And if he's not going to do it, it's 7-1. So how do you like that? What would you take?
Well, yeah, I think he's going to hit. I think he's going to hit 62 or 3. It's so interesting too, because we've talked about this too. It's in a lot of people's minds that Bonds and McGuire and Sosa don't even enter into this. That was like another planet for a few years, and he's chasing Roger Maris. He's chasing a guy from 1961, you know, which is kind of cool. I mean, and it's Yankee against Yankee, and you know that adds a nice element of drama to it. But it's obviously you're in dreamland a little bit there, because the record isn't 61, but that's who Judge realistically is chasing. And I tell you, the way this guy stands up to pressure, from what we've seen, the way he delivers walk-offs time and again, and with that lineup around him, with all those hitters, Rizzo and, you know, Donaldson and Stanton, for heaven's sakes, I think he has a real good chance. I'd love to see him get in the early 60s.
That'd be great. The American League record is 61, because everyone
yeah,
you named.
Right. That's so great, yeah.
Yeah, that's still 61 is the American League record. So we'll see. I hope the Giants, I know I say this every week, I hope the Giants really, really make a sincere effort to get this guy and pay whatever it takes to get him. I think it would just change the franchise.
No, it would be unbelievable. As we've said many times, everything you want in a player, that's this guy, even the fact that he's local from Northern California. He's not terribly young, but he looks like he's got a good 5 years left. And if you sign him for 10, you know, it's whatever. It's not about 10. It's about right now and next year and maybe the next couple of years after that. And if he gets you into the playoffs, or heaven knows you win the whole thing, it's totally worth it. He's one of those guys. To me, there's a dwindling number of players who you want to give 10 years to. But he is definitely one of them. I would just like to see the Johnsons, the Giants ownership, who are under a lot of heat for their political viewpoints, tell Farhan to go crazy trying to get him. And that's all he can do. I mean, I think really realistically, I think he stays with the Yanks. Unless he's not a big New York guy and prefers the Northern California countryside, he should stay with the Yanks and probably will. But I'd like the Giants make an effort that everyone realizes is happening and go as hard as they can.
I hope so. And as I say, it's only money, and they've got money. They've got a big real estate project, and
yeah,
you know, it's above
money,
it's above our pay grade. But I would do everything I could to get this guy, because I look at the team now, and I look at the age of the players and who's coming up and where they're going to be, and this guy would make a difference. Aaron Judge, he would make a huge difference for the Giants. So we'll see where that goes. What do you think about the West here? The Dodgers, you know, they've struggled a little bit, but they got the Padres 2 games. They beat them, and they're 3.5 up now, and the Padres and the Giants are 7.5 back. How are you feeling about the West?
Well, the Dodgers, you know, for all the problems they've had, Tony Gonsolin has come kind of from nowhere.
10-0, right, Bruce, I think?
Yeah, I just was watching him against the Padres last night. His split finger, it's just fallen radically off the table. And just one after another, and all of a sudden he blows a high fastball by Machado, who's not ready for him, and strikes him out in the eighth inning. A huge at-bat. And he left the game shortly after that. He went 7 2/3. But he's been unbeatable. You know, Kershaw is kind of in and out. Urias has been very good, but you know they need an ace, and you know the Freddie Freeman thing is kind of simmering a little bit. He's lost the LA audience at least for now, because he overdid it so badly with the weekend of tears, and he can't seem to stop the flow. And you know the bottom line with Freeman, Marty, is he could have stayed in Atlanta. You control the agent. He doesn't control you. Whatever the agent did, it's still your call at the end. And it's Freeman's fault that it's still in Atlanta. So get the hell over it. Mm. And I'll tell you what, he's got a hit, because they're disenchanted with him in L.A. Kershaw even said something like, gee, I hope we're not second fiddle over here. I mean, the guy's from Orange County. But yeah, and he's not a bad guy, and he's a hell of a player. And one interesting thing was the first game after all the stuff came down, where he's blaming his agent and everything else. The first pitch he sees, he homers. So this guy's a major league player, and I think it's going to simmer down. We're in July right now, but he has to hit. He can't be hitting .230. And pining, for the fjords. Just Monty Python.
Yeah, really. No, I was listening to the game the other night, and the Freddie chants are a little bit less.
Yeah, well, they are. Right. They want him to grow up and be a Dodger. He is from Orange County. And the Braves, who really blew it with losing Freeman, but they get Matt Olson, who's kind of the same thing. He's a very dangerous lefty hitter. Younger, and he's from there. He's a high school legend in Atlanta, so they land on their feet big time there. They're not looking back. But I like the Dodgers in the West. We'll see what Tatis looks like when he comes back for San Diego. That'll be very telling. It looks like he's maybe a couple weeks away. They had another vintage Blake Snell outing last night. He strikes out 12 in 5 innings and gets no decision. Just nothing was his fault, but he can't get a win out of that, And Clevinger and all, many, many storylines going on there. They're basically, I think, well ahead of the Giants in terms of talent and potential and where they're going to land. But I like the Dodgers to pull it out to finish first, and then we'll see what happens.
Well, it's going to be a good race, I'll tell you. The whole wild card thing and everything else, the Braves, the Phillies, the Mets, the mm-hmm. Cardinals, and heck, the Brewers, they lose almost every day now, and they've got all sorts of injuries. So that's what the summer is all about. That's it. But historically, we have a very good day today, and I thought about it last night. As this game was nothing in the ninth, we have the Marichal Spahn 16-inning game that Willie Mays wins with a home run, 1-0 in the 16th inning. And I said last night, boy, here's nothing to the ninth. What drama. Can you imagine doing another 7 innings of it?
Yeah, it's scoreless in the 15th, and Spahn and Marichal are still out there, and they both retired the side in the 15th. Okay, let's move on. Everything's great here. Marichal threw 227 pitches, Marty.
Wow.
And he didn't miss his next start. And if you look at him, if you look at Marichal after this, this is the kind of game that if it happened today, everyone would just assume he'll never pitch again, or it'll never be the same again. His arm falls off. So after that season, his complete game totals were, it's like 22, 24, 25, 18, 30, and 27. It's complete games I'm talking about in single season. So, yeah, that really hurt him. And Spahn, he wound up leading the league in complete games that season after that night. So, but a great game, a cold, windy night at Candlestick. And Mays had a big part of it. He threw out Norm Larker at the plate early on. He made a great throw to cut down Norm Larker. To stop the Braves from scoring. McCovey hit one of those balls. You could barely see that he hit it so hard down the right field line that he swore was 3 feet fair, and Chris Pelikoutis called it foul. Mm. And McCovey, who's a pretty mild-mannered sort, was really, really mad about that because he knew he hit it out, and he didn't get the call. And they finally come down to the 16th, and Alvin Dark, he's worried about Marichal, but I guess Marichal told him, hey, this other guy's 42. I'm not coming out until he's not pitching.
What a story.
I guess Mays told Marichal, hey, next time Mays didn't have any hits until the 16th. I guess he told Marichal, listen, next time up, I'm ending this thing. Yeah. And he did. He put one through the teeth of that horrible westerly wind at Candlestick and hit it over the left field fence.
Well, I guess they let Marichal and Spahn go through the order three times without.
Yeah, without... You know, you didn't even hear that then. In those days, by the time they got to the third time around the order, they were better. They were
really
making hitters look worse.
Yeah. What a great game. What a great game. And Willie says, Chico, I'm going to hit a home run now. And he went out and hit a home run and won the game. I think it's the latest home run ever hit in a 1-0 game, I think in extra innings or something like that. It was some sort of record that Willie had for that. It was pretty good.
Yeah, you think so. That's classic stuff, man.
All right, we'll see what happens today. Two good young pitchers, Bruce, Dylan Cease and Webb. And
good one.
Yeah, it's a good one, and the Giants need a good one. They need to take some pressure off the bullpen and get some good innings out of Webb. So we'll see. All right, we'll chat with you tomorrow. Have a good day.
Great. Sounds good, Marty. Thanks.
A pleasure. All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. Coming up next from CBS Sports. He was on last week just for a short time. He's back, and that'll be Matt Snyder, and he is one of the national writers, and he takes a real good look at baseball. We've got a lot to talk to him about, and we'll do that right after these messages.